Today's show, we talk NFL draft. Who had the most picks? Conferences? Could the Pac-12 still be alive if not for timing? Some football playoff issues are already arising. Nebraska, excited about spring football. And a rough lawsuit out there in the California Central Valley.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
It's like when the Grinch went down and stole the ham and all the stuff.
Russ Dellinger.
We live in an overly litigious society.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Probably, you know, more enjoyable atmosphere than a bunch of other guys sitting around mouth-breathing, drinking their beer, cussing out the right fielder.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. NFL draft is in the books. We've got all the facts and figures, everybody getting selected. We congratulate all the young men who got picked by various 32 NFL teams. I was talking this morning with the administrator at a conference, at one of our major conferences here, college football. And we're kind of trying to figure out if there's anything college football could do that could duplicate, that's impossible, but mimic or something, the promotional aspect of the NFL draft. 775,000 people went into the NFL draft in downtown Detroit over 3 days. More than 750,000 people. That includes me. My wife and I went Sunday to walk around and look at it. There were many more people who didn't bother going in or couldn't, because on both the first and second nights of the draft like footprint, like they had an area cordoned off and you had to go through like a metal detector and you had this app and that's how you kind of got in. The first night of 275,000 people, the second night of 230,000 or second day, they had to stop letting people in at like 6:30 before the draft even began. So many more people just hung out downtown Detroit. I don't know what the total number is, but probably over 1 million people went to this thing, either got in or didn't. 34.3 million people, unduplicated, watched the first round.
That's an insane number.
34 million. Bigger than any college football game. More people watched to see where the college players were going to play next than the actual college players playing. By significant number. Now, granted, the NFL draft deals with all the teams. They deal with all the players, where the biggest games of the year is, you know, Michigan, Washington, or Michigan, Alabama, or I guess this year, Michigan, Ohio, I don't know, whatever, those would be the biggest games, right? This attendance was 30% basically bigger than the old record, which was Nashville in 2019. I said the other day, Detroit was uniquely perfect for this event because it's much more, many more people live in Michigan, in Detroit than Nashville, Metro Detroit. There's all these cities around Detroit that are easy day trip. Toledo's an hour away. Grand Rapids is 2 hours. Lansing's an hour, like some decent small and mid-sized cities. There's all these people that can just come in. Canada, Windsor, Ontario, people are coming in from Canada. So, and it's a city that does not get 7 million. It's not LA, right? That's like, oh, another event. Who cares? All these people are football fans and the Lions are winning. So yeah, kind of a perfect storm, but still, this is an unbelievable promotional event for the NFL, and it is an event that centers on absolutely nothing. 13 players showed up and shook hands with Roger Goodell. Other than that, a guy stood behind a podium. Somebody stood by, a man or women, actors, singers, players, former players, kids, everything. The governor, like everybody, announced a pick. And that was it. This country is football mad, and college football is part of it. But Is there anything that college football can do? Because it is a poorly run operation. It has no central authority. It does things like kick a title game off at like 9 p.m. Eastern so the East Coast can't watch the end, or only the most dedicated, because some guys who run a parade in California want to time their game around a sunset, right? When you run a sport like that, you don't get this. The NFL, that don't happen. They change the sun. But college football is a disorganized mess. I kind of like it, a disorganized mess. It's part of the charm that it's a disorganized mess. But there is some unbelievable marketing opportunity or fan event, because this was exciting for people. Like, people were really excited to be there, even though nothing was happening. And I think college football fans are desperate for, I mean, we go to spring games in insane numbers. Colorado is getting criticized for only selling 28,000 tickets on Saturday in a snowstorm, when it's now a bad thing to only sell 28,000 for a practice. Not as dedicated as the dogs. Okay. No, we're not. So we college football fans will do stupid things like watch. We would watch this. Is there anything, Pat? Is this just, can college sports ever put on events like this that create excitement and an event to the off season in these kind of numbers?
It would require coordination and cohesion, and those are two things college sports does not have. The conferences would have to agree to work together. They would have to get television partners who would work together. They would have to take more control of their calendar. All these things that they have been completely unable or unwilling to do. But could you imagine, you know, if the conferences got together and asked the top 50 recruits in the country to all come to one place, St. Louis, Missouri, or something, Kansas City, Chicago, Indianapolis, and announce their commitments one at a time on live TV, not in December in the middle of everything else, but in February, and you had a signing day that was actually like a show like that, especially if you could get them to keep their commitments quiet that long. That would be the problem. Of course, people would be jockeying for scholarships. But if you could turn signing day into a coordinated event like that, I think you could do so. I mean, signing day, we've seen it be huge in February, right? Before. You could make it bigger. You could do more with it. But again, coordination and cohesion would have to go into it, and cooperation. And I'm not sure that's going to work.
Well, we've talked about it, I think, on the pod before, but a college football draft, SEC, Big Ten draft of some sort of high school and maybe transfer players, you would think would draw a pretty significant audience. I don't know if it would draw with the NFL. It probably would never draw what the NFL is drawing, but there is a sense among plenty of athletic administrators that part of the issue with the current landscape of college athletics and the current model is recruiting. Is everything goes back to the recruitment of players. And so if you had a draft, then that would eliminate recruiting and eliminate all these other things that go along with recruiting. And so I could see in some kind of alternate universe, because I have a feeling it would never happen. The SEC and the Big Ten getting together, maybe adding a few more teams in doing a draft, coming together in some kind of semi-pro, you know, in doing a draft. And if you put, you know, heck, if you only put an SEC draft in the middle of it, you know, Atlanta or Nashville, for that matter, New Orleans, could you imagine, you know, all the SEC teams like getting, you know, arriving there, and they have their seats on the side of the stage, and they're picking these high school players. There were people would show up. I don't know if 700,000 people would show up, but people would show up.
So obviously this, I mean, I This is a great idea that is virtually impossible to happen. But holy cow, would that be dramatic? Because it would be the players picking the teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you would not be limited. It'd be like you could just keep racking off draft picks.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama like after Alabama after Alabama.
Right. Like, congratulations, Chicago Bears. You got Caleb Williams. You got Rome Odunze. You're pretty happy. Now sit tight and be quiet for a couple hours, and we'll get back to you tomorrow. And you could have guys switching. You know what? The last three dudes went Alabama. I'm going to Alabama. Hat flips at the end. The crowd could be throwing money at, shooting like cannon, money cannon at them.
You could, yeah. You could have like a bidding war going on right there live, you know?
I mean, you had 275,000. Now, they had fans from all over. But like on TV, they make it look like there are all these other fans. And there are fans from every team, no question, when you saw the whole crowd. But the NFL gives inside that pavilion is very state. That's the studio. And they get 15, I think it's 15 tick spots. Each team sends their super fans. So that like in the middle of a Saturday afternoon when they go to the, you know, whatever, the Houston Texans are making pick number 242, they can shoot a camera and it looks like there's 15 Houston Texans fans, a crowd of Houston Texans fans that are still sitting there on Saturday going crazy excited over this pick. We got a linebacker from Southern Miss. We're in. Yeah. Right. So they staged that. But out in the crowd, there's all sorts of different jerseys. But they're mostly were Lions fans, as you'd imagine. And there'll be Green Bay Packer fans next year and Kansas City last year, whatever. Imagine if the Lions fans could be like hucking money at the picks and be like, Rome Odunze, do not go to Chicago.
Late bid coming in.
We could use a wide receiver right here. Could win the Super Bowl, right? So, what a circus. There'd be fist fights. It would be, I don't even know if this would be, you'd have to pen off each SEC fan base. Great TV. It might get more than 34 million.
Once you get them all mixing it up,
get an octagon in the middle, like a couple old boosters from Egg Bowl. The Egg Bowl gets violent. Yeah. There's a four-star wide receiver South from Panola.
He's up there. Yeah.
He was coming to state. Well, the NFL markets its sport like nothing else because this is a non-event. It was funny when they held it in Radio City Music Hall. It was like, this is totally unnecessary. And now it's just, they've turned it into this unbelievable thing. $200 million in spending or something. And it's Detroit. Like, it's the biggest things other than the Super Bowl. And college football, like, the national championship game is just a game. They really have not turned that into an event. The bowl semifinals, I don't know, kind of.
I mean, you still got your bowl trappings, but it's different. It's different. There's nothing like what the Super Bowl has created, what the NFL's created with the Super Bowl. And certainly, you know, they have a long way to go to come up with anything that could replicate the draft situation.
I would say the SEC title game is probably the closest thing.
Yeah.
Because that is like kind of a weekend. And there are people that just go, I think, every year in Atlanta. I don't know if the Big Ten has that same excitement level. But I don't think Indy is as much of a destination to go hang out in for a weekend than Atlanta. I don't know.
Right.
You know what college has that's comparable is like, to me, is like the Final Four.
Yeah.
Right. Final Four is like a five-day deal. You get the NABC coaches there, too. So you get coaches from all over. I mean, you get a pretty good cross-section of people from all over the country that come into wherever the Final Four is And it, yeah, it's a big corporate, ass deal now.
Corporate neutral. They have a, don't they have a concert Sunday night? Big outdoor concert usually.
Yeah. Yeah. They got something absolutely every year on that Sunday.
The NFL's handling of the draft, how they've expanded it, just reminds me of kind of everything the NFL has done over the last few years. It continues to grow and expand. It's such a beast, and it's realized it's like this monster. And so it just continues to take advantage of that. We've talked about it on the pod a lot, but like, you know, it continues to expand, right? It expands upon the number of days or the days in which it plays. And some of that expanding into college football, you know, as well. It's just this giant that continues to grow. And I think part of the reason, though, college football is, you know, incredibly popular, and I think has ascended, most would argue, if you look at viewership and TV rights deals, it's ascended into the second spot of sports. But it doesn't have that, as Pat said, that cohesion to expand like the NFL is in a variety of ways. That said, of course, you know, it did expand the playoff. It only took 2.5-3 years to do. And that's a good example of the lack of leadership in kind of cohesion and communication that you know, college football lacks, that the NFL seems to have.
The one other detail from the NFL that I think would be, if you're purely a college fan, would be a benefit. Roger Goodell is already speaking out, or reiterated, I think he said it before, the 17-game NFL season, we're good for now. But listen, we're looking how to continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season game. If we get to 18 regular season games, basically, that would give a second bye week and push the whole season back 1 week and create the Super Bowl into President's Day weekend in mid-February. Now, what I would say that would be good for college football is it would clear a little bit more of early January, at least one more week, where college football isn't competing against the NFL playoffs. And ideally, if they get to 18 and college football doesn't screw it up and gets a little more organized and maybe stops caring about bowls and sunsets, they could actually finish the college season before the NFL playoffs begin. And if you could play the college championship game on that Saturday before the final NFL Sunday, I think that would be the best situation for college football.
What is it? That's the first week. That would be the first weekend in January, probably.
I think it might be
the 9th or 10th or something.
Or the 2nd. Yeah. I don't know how, but you got a little time.
Yeah. Right now, the way the schedule works, right, it's been pushed to like basically the 3rd. Week of January, college's national championship with the expanded playoff. And I was at CFP meetings last week in Dallas. And that was certainly a topic is, you know, the NFL right now, the way the expanded college football playoff schedule would work is the opening weekend, the first first round games that are played on campuses would be three of the four, at least would be going up against the NFL that third Saturday in December. And then there's the first game is on that Friday night specifically to steer clear of the NFL to have three that Saturday. And the NFL, I think, would prefer it if college football moved those games. But as Bill Hancock told us last week in Dallas, that's not the plan. But the ideal world, and this was something talked about at length last year, is do you move up the college football regular season and you start in week zero, right? And then you move everything up, including conference championship games would fall then on Thanksgiving. And then you move up everything a week where you have the semifinals on New Year's Day and then the championship game, you know, like 10 days into January or so instead of 20 days into January. As it, that's ideal, but I did not gather from people in Dallas last week that that is something that's feasible. And I think the biggest thing is TV, actually. I think TV prefers the rivalry weekend to be on Thanksgiving weekend. And that would be hard to move in just for fan bases and historic purposes. But, you know, your big media partners want that weekend full of games, right? And not just 10 championship games.
Historically, it was before. It was that way. They finished before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. That goes back.
Recent history.
Yeah. 70s or 60s or whatever it was before, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, when did this happen? Before I was born?
When they went from 11 to 12 games, whenever that was.
Yeah, right.
It's not that
right.
long ago.
Yeah. No, that was, shoot, that's...
That's about, that's, yeah, that was early 2000s maybe they started doing that, I want to say.
Then they moved the game and people said that's weird. And it's, and then obviously I think it makes sense to be after, but the students aren't on campus. That was the big thing. Because the students go home for Thanksgiving and it takes the students off campus. So before it was the Saturday before Thanksgiving was the rivalry Saturday. They didn't brand stuff then. I'll say this just quickly, and Pat, you may have some more thoughts, but one of the problems with college football is it's so slow and so disorganized, and it delays and delays and delays. If they had done this playoff like they should have originally, they would have claimed those Saturday nights in December, like that Saturday, those Saturday nights is their time, and the NFL would be far more hesitant to just go grab it. But the NFL in recent years has expanded out its offerings into every window it possibly can, because the college football is standing around doing nothing, twiddling their thumbs, arguing about Lord knows what, even though the inevitable are coming. So some of these problems college football has, or many of them, are self-inflicted, because no one could agree on anything, and they were all fighting over dumb stuff that, can't even remember what they would be.
Mm-hmm. Dan, I was going to ask, when you, in your discussion with this administrator, did you all have any other ideas other than signing day slash, no? Okay.
So. No, I was going to take your guys' idea and then present it as a consultant work.
Oh, okay.
Hope no one notices.
Yeah.
Figured no one.
I'm glad we
charge him $100,000.
That's pretty much the way they do it in college athletics.
Yeah.
Let's pay a consultant $100,000 to tell us what we already know.
Yeah.
Do a background check on this coach. Oh, you missed the fact he didn't actually graduate from college? Oh, good background check there. His 3 DUIs, two wives? Oh.
Two wives simultaneously?
Yeah. But his agent paid me off. Oh, all right. No. I know our search firms are beyond reproach, Ross, beyond reproach.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Before we get to all the draft picks, Michigan and all these other schools, Ross, you were at playoff meetings. Is the other big concern, you wrote about this on Yahoo Sports, excellent column, rematches. They've now expanded the season, the league so much.
Yeah.
That there are lots of rematches possible in the playoff field. And what are they going to do about it?
Yeah, the most kind of interesting thing about the CFP meetings in Dallas were at the end of the meetings, where there really wasn't much news except some stuff on Army-Navy that I can mention later, but was an X-bracket exercise that the commissioners did, and they used old rankings to apply, or they used the 12-team format, applied it to the last few years or so. Which I think a lot of people have done, everybody can kind of do it the way the formula is, and you just apply it to the previous seasons. And what came out is what's been pretty obvious the last couple of years when I've crunched the numbers and applied the old format, the new format is a lot of rematches. Yeah. Not just in the first round, but a lot of rematches in general. And you can't. Obviously, you can't prevent rematches in the quarters and semis and championship game. You're going to have them. We've seen them in the 4-team playoff. We've seen them in the BCS. But you can avoid it in the first round. The NCAA tournament does. NCAA tournament selection committee has a protocol of avoiding conference games in the first round. College football playoff doesn't have that, at least not yet. that they didn't have a protocol to avoid conference matchups in the first round. However, the CFP selection committee ranks the teams is how they'll be seeded when you plug it into the format. So that's something that just came up. Not only did the commissioners have the bracket exercise, but we did. But a handful of media who were there got invited into the room and got to do the bracket exercise as well. And that's something that there's a few issues that will emerge in the 5+7 kind of format the next 2 years. But that's certainly a really glaring one, is that you will have rematches. So if you applied the 12-team format to the last 10 years of the CFP, I believe you get eight conference versus conference matchups in the first round. Almost every year you have one. You get seven actual rematches of a previous game in the season, I believe, something like that.
Well, this would again fall into the category to me of self-inflicted problems. You expand your league to 18. Oh, we're going to need more bids because we have 18 teams now. Expand your league to 18. Oh, we can't have rematches. Yeah, you want to make a conference that big, you bring on some of these complications and issues. So if I were the playoff people, I would just say, look, this is the system you guys created. We're going to have rematches. We're going to deal with it, as opposed to like trying to break the bracket or change seeding or mix things up significantly enough that you just to avoid those. And yes, it's done in basketball. There's 68 teams. There's a lot easier ways to avoid head to heads than with a 12 team. And you're trying to avoid a 6-11 from the same conference playing each other in basketball. That's much easier done when you have four regions than when you have 12 teams total.
Yeah, moving somebody from, because they do that 1-68, right?
Yeah,
and if you're even if you're the 3 seed, they'll move guys around. Let's say you're 9, it's in a 68 field. It's easier to get moved basically to 11, or move up to 9 and have a hard, like, just the way that thing works. I agree. Once you like, ideally, if you could trust everything and trust all the process, you'd say, look, let's try to avoid them. If it's close, we'll just, but once you get into that, you're opening yourself up to, you know, incredible screams. Again, go hockey, one computer formula.
Bring the computers back, Dan.
They rig those up too, though, the NCAA hockey tournament, because people will host. So they'll move people around. So there's no good way. But your problem is you expanded, and that's, now you're dealing with it. And the real downside will be when Oregon and Ohio State play in a Big Ten title game, right? And let's say Ohio State wins and they're the 2 seed or 3 seed and Oregon falls to 10 or whatever. I don't know. I guess you have a buys. Whatever. Maybe that'll help. We won't have that conference championship rematch 1 week later. So that's good.
The automatic buys.
The buy takes that out.
Do prevent that. Yeah, at least that's preventable as a conference championship game rematch. But like, if you for the most part, I guess, yeah, for it pretty much would, yeah. If you applied the bracket exercise the media did was for 2022 rankings, so we applied the CFP 12 team format to a 2022 ranking, and the rematch that stood out was Penn State at Ohio State. It would be 11 seed Penn State was at 6 seed Ohio State. And Ohio State was a 6 seed, despite being ranked number 4 in the rankings, because, of course, they didn't win the conference championship game. But there are plenty of other, you know, rematches through the years. If you went back and applied, like I said, there's like I think 7 in total. And one of them stuck out to me, obviously, is it's an egg. There's an in 2014, there would be an Egg Bowl rematch that had been played just 3 weeks prior. Right. You would have another. It would be an 8-9 game. Now, as awesome as that would be for the state of Mississippi to have Mississippi State, I don't remember who was the 8 or 9, but one of those teams host a playoff game in an 8-9. That's pretty phenomenal, right? But you did play 2.5 weeks before that, you know, right? And there were some other rematches. Georgia, Florida would have played in a rematch, I think, in 2018 in a 7-10 game, I want to say. Baylor and Oklahoma State in 2021, I think, would have played. So you know, but there are, I wrote in that story a little more other issues that cropped up. And one of them is the group of five playoff spot. You know, if you rank, if you give automatic bids to the five highest ranked conference champions, obviously that's an automatic, that's a spot for the highest ranked G5. And last year, number 23 ranked Liberty, which got beat by almost 40 points by Oregon, would have been in the playoff. We talked about it then, I think, would have been in a playoff and would have pushed out, you know.
Are they already crying about this? Are they already crying?
there's a God. Little, there's a little rumbling about
it avoids that, yes. Antitrust. Yeah. B, I mean, come yeah. on. Are we already crying? Yeah. I don't care. I don't care.
I don't. I care
Give
even
me
less
a
than Dan doesn't care.
Freaking break. You guys took everything. It's like when the Grinch went down and stole the ham yeah. and the all the stuff, and then he went back
roast
and
beast.
Took like
yes.
the roast yeah. beast, and he took the crumb from the little mouse.
Yeah, the hoo hash, the last speck of hoo hash. Yes.
Shut the hell up. Oh my God, Tulane's 18.
Greg Sankey reminded us in Dallas that
poor Greg. How will this you persevere?
This is what happens when you know you pick the five and not the four highest ranked conference champions to get an automatic bye.
Yeah. How will they muddle through? Oh,
yeah,
adversity.
I feel sorry for that fourth place team in the Big Ten that doesn't get in.
Well, the one of the interesting things though about the bracket exercise when this came up in the room. Because it did, it came up when I think it was Tulane in 2022, because we used the 2022 ranking. So Tulane was ranked 16th, and they would have gotten the 12 seed. By the way, that Tulane team upset USC in the Cotton Bowl. So it came up that, but then we started talking about last year, which number 23 ranked Liberty got the G5 spot, barely ranked, right? What do you do if a G5 team isn't ranked? In the
give
top
them a spot.
25.
That's what you do. You give them the spot.
And, well, you do, and that the protocol right now is right now. I say right now because in 2026 and beyond, as we all know, the protocol could change. But right now, the next 2 years, the selection committee would basically pick the group of five champion, the best
of the five.
Oh, I see. Because
they
champion.
Only rank 25. I say make
correct.
Them stay
they're not
there
go
for
to
an
30.
Extra week. Stay and rank all 132.
No. No,
how
they,
could we
they,
properly do this?
No, they wouldn't do that. They would basically rank the group of five champions, and they would pick the highest one would get the spot.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. Shouldn't it? It's doable. It's doable without causing undue angst to the poor committee members or the poor Power Four conferences. It really can be done. And yeah, you know what? Again, that was partially the selection committee made a bad decision by picking Liberty over. Who'd they pick him over? Was it James Madison or was it somebody who was probably
SMU.
A better GF? SMU. SMU. That was it. Yeah. SMU. Yeah, yeah. 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 So, anyway, look, the playoff is set up to be a wonderful, fun, exciting thing. There are some complications caused by greed and rampant expansionism. And yes, you're going to have to put up with only getting 11 power conference schools in as opposed to 12, and some 8-4 school ain't making it, and condolences.
These people, these are the people that like own the casino and take the roulette wheel, and they used to have 1-0, green 0, now they put a second one in, and they want to put a third. Just enough. Enough. I'm already hearing the complaints. Whoa, what's this? What's this? Is this fair? Oh, my God. This sport. All right, we're going to be back after this break. All right, NFL draft stats. Best stat I saw all weekend came from Chris Vanini of The Athletic. I will list you the most top 100 picks this year. Michigan had 7. They were first. Well, Washington tied them with 7. Alabama had 6, third. Florida State had 6, fourth. Georgia had 6, fifth. Texas had 5, sixth. Final college football playoff rankings. Michigan 1, Washington 2, Texas 3, Alabama 4, Florida State 5, Georgia 6. Other than Texas jumping up there, And that's it, right? Just Georgia. Yeah. Georgia, other than Texas underperformed. Or they overperformed. No, they overperformed. Whatever. Pretty interesting. Helps to have good players.
Huh? Yeah, Jimmy Jim Joes.
But that was pretty wild.
Pretty strong correlation between playoff success and
good players.
NFL draft. Yeah.
Yeah. Michigan had 13 draft picks, one of the highest of all time, the most since the 2021 Georgia Bulldogs. In the 2022 draft had 15. 2004 Ohio State had 14. 2020 LSU had 14. So Michigan's in the top four in all-time most draft picks in the seven round. You know, they used to have like 20 rounds of this thing. When Mr. Irrelevant was truly Mr. Irrelevant, not a future Super Bowl starting quarterback.
Well, in Michigan, Dan probably had, it would take forever to crunch these numbers and it'd be maybe impossible, but they probably had the most draft picks for a single team based on those draft picks' recruiting rankings, right? Like they probably developed the players. The group the most. I mean, because you talk about LSU and the Ohio State classes, the Georgia classes, all those kids are like 4 and 5. I mean, most of them are 4 and 5 star ratings, right? I mean, I don't know Michigan's class, but I'm assume some of those guys
were
3 star, 12, 2 star, or something. Yeah.
Oh yeah, all of them, almost all of them. I think they had two. Didn't there were only 5 stars last year? Where JJ McCarthy was sometimes a 5 star. Donovan Edwards was, and Will Johnson, who's still on the team. And Johnson will be a top 10 pick next year. Graham, their line. I mean, they got a future. Michigan's going to end up with over, 25-something picks on that team that played. It was an excellent team. Now, it was always the biggest reason why they won. And they had all these guys. Harbaugh did an unbelievable job scouting and developing. I don't think any question. You know, you look at a Mikey Sanders still, just early in the second round. So, now the difference between that Georgia class and this Michigan class, very impressive, 13. But Georgia had the number 1, 13, 22, 28, 32nd pick, 5 first-rounders amongst their 15. Michigan had 1, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, they had. And I think with Georgia's all defense. All 5 of those guys?
All 5 defense. Then they had, it was Trayvon Walker, Jordan Davis, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, and Lewis.
Scene.
Yep. And then they had 3 more top 100 picks: George Pickens, James Cook, and N'Kobe Dean. Michigan had a bunch of top hundreds, though. McCarthy, Chris Jenkins, Sandra Still, Junior Colson, Blake Corum, Roman Wilson, and Zach Zinter. So they had 7 top hundreds there. So the Georgia's class is more top heavy and more players and all that. But loaded run by the Wolverines. And it's very interesting that they did not do that with, I don't believe they had 1 class ranked in the top 6 of the composite recruiting rankings.
Yeah, Well, that's where they're a little bit of a trend breaker from the Georgia-Alabama reign of terror, where it was just, we're going out and getting a bunch of 5-star dudes, and then we're going to beat you with them, and then they're going straight into the draft in the first round. Again, Michigan got a bunch of guys drafted, but a lot of second, third, fourth round, they have very good players, and a lot of those guys will have long NFL careers and do fine, but they weren't, people were not trading up in the first round to get Michigan Wolverines this year. So it's interesting. I think didn't Harbaugh get Junior Colson second round?
He did, and then he's saying hail to the victors, and it's really what a voice he's got. He's got the exact singing voice you'd expect. But, do you think you'll get the NFL guys to sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow after games? Or do you think that's going to get left at the college level?
That might want to have to stay in college. But, I mean, Harb's had his pick of a lot of Michigan guys there in the second round and took Junior Colson. Now, that might be to fit a need, but the Chargers had a lot of needs, I'm pretty sure. So, an interesting selection there, I thought, from Harbaugh, Junior Colson, about who he really valued as a next-level player.
So 2018, 19, and 20 would be the three recruiting classes. Well, I mean, guys are playing like 14 seasons now, but generally speaking, would be it. They had the 2018, their class was ranked 22nd in the country, 24/7 Sports Composite. 2019, they were eighth. In 2021, they were 13th.
Yeah, it's got to be the most players drafted on a program that signed the least amount of top 10 classes.
Yeah, to your point there. And Washington, same way. So even. This sport is changing in how you can develop these teams, because Washington didn't have any good recruiting classes either.
No, I mean, yeah, whatever they were ranked, I don't know. I mean, the 2019 class they signed is absolutely ridiculous in retrospect. At the time, you know, nobody was talking about it, but that was all these guys on this team, plus Puka Nacua, who was like NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, the UCLA first-round draft
pick.
Right,
right, yep.
He started at Washington as well. I mean,
they ended up with 10 picks drafted this
year. Yeah, game. Chris Peterson did some work in 2019.
Yeah. I wonder if he wishes he stuck around.
coach
these guys, man. 2024 picks by drafts, picks by conference. SEC leads the way, 59 per usual. Pac-12, 43. Big-10, 42. ACC, 41. Big-12, 31. The Independents had 8. Sunbelt, 6. American, 5. Conference USA, 3. Mountain West, 2. And the MAC had 2. 43 for the Pac-12, a team in the national championship game, humming programs at Washington, Oregon. They had the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. We talked last year about how exciting the conference race was and how big the games were. I think the greatest what if in college sports history is going to go down as what if the Pac-12's TV deal was up now, not 2 years ago. Could they have fetched the amount of money to keep everybody home?
It's a massive what if. Massive. It is.
Changes everything.
Yes, it does. I mean, given, the trajectory of the key programs right now is phenomenal in that league, but it's too late. It's gone. You know, it's yeah, timing, luck, and then bad foresight, bad leadership, you know, that certainly factored in as well. But good Lord, because those football programs out there, they were so fun to watch in 2023, and they should be going forward as well. You know, it's mind-boggling, really, how this has all turned out.
Well, I think it was September 2022 or October 2022 when they – you know, the presidents, the board of the Pac-12, each university president, turned down the ESPN's offer, which would have been around, you know, on par with, you know, what the Big 12 is getting, and not that much lower than what the ACC is getting for a TV deal. And they turned it down and waited and practiced patience, we heard. And as they waited, right, then a month later, the Big 12 did their TV deal and got in the market quickly. And they waited and waited and waited until obviously there was no deal to be had, or no deal that was comparable to that original one.
They hadn't been in a playoff in what, 5 or 6 years until Washington?
Since 2016. Yeah. 16. Washington. Yep.
I mean, it's just dumb luck. The transfer portal came along and boosted these teams because all those QBs were transfer guys. Said Washington hits this epic recruiting class that no one saw coming because the guys weren't five stars. And I'm sure the Pacific Northwest and stuff is not scouted the way it is in the Southeast by the recruiting guys, understandably. I mean, if you're looking for play, you know, you're not combing through every small Oregon high school and Washington high school. But I mean, if it was all of a sudden TV deal just up, I mean, ESPN sitting there going, hell yeah, we want these guys. I mean, it changes everything. The whole fabric of college athletics is blowing up because a TV deal wasn't timed right. And as much as we blame Larry Scott for many things, how the hell is he going to know this? Win some games, get some exciting players. All of a sudden, they got all these exciting players and they're winning games. See ya. Unbelievable.
Part of me wonders if it would have delayed the inevitable, if this was inevitable to happen anyway, but I don't know.
I would have taken that delay. Because I think if we don't know how we just said, like, it's a different way of getting players now. And what is the playoff going to do? And all the different changes, maybe more conferences is, you know, like the Pac-12 would be able to maintain this because it's no longer about, I need to be able to recruit a bunch of top five classes or something like, I don't know. It's probably inevitable, but we'll never know. And I wish we did because I'd rather have the Pac-12 around. Briefly, 11 FCS players were drafted. Now, the 10-year average is 13.9, and there were 10 last year. There were 20 the year before. It's all over the place. There were 2 years. There was a 5 and a 6. 1 year, only one guy got drafted out of FCS. So we're wondering if the transfer portal will just wipe out FCS draft picks. Not yet. Oregon State, Damian Martinez is a really good running back. 1,185 yards, 9 touchdowns as a sophomore for the Beavers. One of the most coveted guys in the transfer portal headed to the U. Mario Cristobal continues to load up on talent.
NIL's working down there.
Also, Miami's working.
That's right. Yeah. Miami. Hey, we talked about it like maybe a couple years ago, right? Miami sets up in this new world. It should, right, be this recruiting power like it maybe was back in the 80s and 90s.
Yep, should. We'll see. I mean. Again, they've put it all in place, right? They've got the natural recruiting area. They've got a very high-level recruiting coach. They've got active NIL. And their record the last 2 years is 5-7 in 2022 and 7-6 in 2023. Time for Mario Cristobal to get it done on the field.
They picked up Houston receiver Sam Brown is who they got. And, of course, you know, they got Cam Ward. They're just plucking the poor Pac-2 apart there.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good offseason. Only the Bears got better offensive talent than the Hurricane. Yeah, it's pretty nice. But, yeah, take a knee. Watch the clock. 40 seconds between plays. If there's only 35 seconds left, take a knee. You win the game. It's math. There's many smart. Miami's an excellent school. Very, very hard to get into. Many smart people over there. They can help you with the clock, show you how it works. One click turns around. Let's just do that.
That was, by the way, at that point, Miami was, they were 4-0 at that point. I know. Ranked. I mean, you don't screw up that game. Who knows? Maybe.
No, no.
Might have worked out differently last year.
Nebraska had their spring game. As you know, nothing like spring game stats. I cannot wait to see. But no, I watched the highlights. Dylan Raiola. Oh, my. Okay. 16 to 22, 239 and 2 touchdowns. But, he threw a fade for a touchdown that they could show when he's picked number one overall in the NFL draft show. He threw a 64-yard absolute dime in stride to Jalen Lloyd. At another point, this is a true freshman. It's a spring game. Clearly, he means he's going to Canton. Get the gold jacket. But I'm just saying, in terms of spring game highlight passes, I think Go Big Red is understandably fired up. Like, whoa, we haven't had anything like that around here in a while, if ever.
Yeah, that's intriguing. And yes, how fast can you fast track a true freshman? We'll see. You know, Matt Rhule, I think, is probably pretty pragmatic about that sort of thing. Although he did somehow choose to start Jeff Sims last year, which was not a great decision. But look, anybody has got to make them better than they have been at quarterback. I mean, they finished the season scoring 17-10, 17-10, lost all four of those games. Had one, two, three, four other games where they scored 17 or fewer points. I mean, they were an awful offensive team last year. Turnover ridden. Couldn't run, couldn't throw, couldn't do much of anything. And if you just simply take care of the ball to start with and then work up from there, passing-wise and pass protection and ball security, it's going to get better.
Nothing like a good spring game and spring game performance and spring game stats to get a fan base all fired up and then leave them completely dissatisfied and disappointed after week three, right? Maybe that won't happen. Maybe it will at Nebraska. But, yeah, I saw a couple of the highlights of the passes. It's very clear why, why he's ranked, you know, the number one quarterback and why teams like Georgia and, you know, Nebraska and Alabama were all over him.
And this is my thing about, I mean, college highlights in general, but the spring game is like, oh, he threw a 64-yard touchdown. You watch it. The guy's wide open, and he throws it 5 yards behind him, but the kid stops and just catches it. This was not that. These were nice throws. So whatever that's worth. According to reports, I'd not watch these highlights, but Heinrich Harburg, who's there, did play some last year. The only guy back also looked really good. So maybe Harburg's your starter, and I mean the crowd is going to be very Raiola friendly. We will see, but that's very good news for Nebraska that needed some good news. I'd say a spring game would sell tickets. Like, you know, you'd be happy in the ticket office, but they sell out every game anyway. So
yeah, Nebraska's one place they don't have to worry about trying to sell tickets.
No, not a thing. Speaking of inept offenses. Pat, do you have any words for the Maryland fans out there who found out this weekend that they have a new analyst? A new analyst for the Maryland Terrapins. His name is Brian Ferentz. Might have been a topic familiar figure here on the pod. He's the anti-Caitlin Clark. Okay, Caitlin Clark scored many points in Iowa City. Basically, could anything she tried worked. Brian Ferentz scored very few as the offensive coordinator. Anything he tried did not work. What do you say if you're Maryland to the Maryland fan going, wait, what?
Don't worry, he's not going to have his hands on any of the controls. He's not allowed to drive the car. That's what you say. He's just here to break down film and offer some insight on, say, short yardage run game. Let's not have him do anything else. We do not want him implementing passing plays. We don't want him, you know, trying to revamp the route tree for the receivers. No. This is a remedial job for Mike Locksley here. Remedial job with Brian Ferentz. You start in there, you get him and you sit down and say, this is what a forward pass looks like, Brian. We do this a lot here, and we're pretty good at it. So just be quiet and watch, and then we'll let you have some input on short yardage run game.
They may change soon. Maybe over the summer, they may change the rule where analysts can actually coach hands on and offer technical coaching and all that stuff. So look out.
Could analyze what not to do.
Brian, what would be your scout here? Okay, we're gonna do the exact opposite.
A route tree at Iowa. I don't even think they had three receivers to run a route tree. They had that one guy, and then they had the tight ends. I mean, in fairness, Brian Ferentz, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, and you know, sorry, Brian, I'm glad you got a job, and I hope you and your family are gonna enjoy your time at Maryland. And but like, he's going to be like, holy cow, look at these receivers that can actually catch the ball. Wait a minute.
Get open.
Is that a quarterback that can
get them to him?
Yeah, like he may be like ready to roll. He's stuck with like this, you know, he wasn't a recruiter. He did not draw Brian Ferentz as your offense coordinator, not draw great offensive talent. Maybe he's the cook, but he can't do the shopping. I don't know. But definitely not, speaking of, you know, not exciting the fan base for the season. We hired Brian Ferentz. Oh no. Fear the turtle.
Can we make him a defensive analyst?
All right, we got another lawsuit here in the People's Court.
Oh boy.
Last May 25th, 2023, the Fresno Grizzlies is a minor league baseball team in Fresno, California, as you'd imagine, decide to have a promotion to try to, you know, I mean, it's tough at the minor league baseball level, getting the crowds out. So they did a promotion to encourage local support from the team. This is KGPE television telling me this. And the promotion was a ladies' night. A ladies' night at the ballpark. And female attendees were able to get in free. But male and non-binary attendees had to pay. But the females got in free. Ladies' night. I don't think this is the first place to have ladies' night, or they have them at bars a lot, right?
Yeah.
Free cover for the ladies. Frat parties for sure, right? Yeah. And get into that. Anyway, somebody was not happy about it, and his name's Harry Crouch. Harry Crouch is a plaintiff in a lawsuit. He's chapped that he had to pay $18 to attend the game, while his co-plaintiff, perhaps a friend named Christine Johnson, got in free.
Co-plaintiff? Why is she a plaintiff? She got in free.
She got in free. He had to pay $18. This is discrimination, they say, and they're suing the Fresno Grizzlies for not $18, $5 million.
What? Seems about right. Only a little exaggeration there.
From the lawsuit, the Fresno Grizzlies' ill-conceived ladies' night promotion seemingly sexualized female fans by treating them a little more than sexual bait in order to attract men to buy tickets to the game.
Wow.
Maybe not. Maybe they just wanted to introduce more women to baseball. I don't know. In doing so, the Grizzlies' male-dominated front office managed to pull off the rare trifecta of sex discrimination, misogyny. I don't even know how some of these words are. Forget it. By treating. Anyway, the fans are unequally treated solely on their gender. There's a bunch of words that I don't know. I need to join a tent protest somewhere to be educated on some of this. But anyway, that's it. They're suing. And they have a legal analyst here. Any business that has a lady night promotion where the nature of the promotion is that women can get it cheaper runs the risk of these types of lawsuits, said a legal analyst, Kevin Little, who is an attorney in Fresno. There was a case once where the Blue Angels gave away tote bags for free on Mother's Day, for example. Some male plaintiffs sued that they didn't get the free tote bag, and it was discriminated. So apparently there's this. This is being supported by something called, Crouch himself is the president for the National Coalition for Men.
Mm.
I looked this site up, and
I didn't get in on this. Never heard of such.
No, they technically they're representing us, but I'm like, oh. Get over yourself. This is what,
all right.
This is it. I couldn't go. You had to pay $18 to go to see Fresno Grizzlies. Anyway, Pat 40, is there a case here?
No, there is not a case here. Sorry, Harry Crouch.
Yeah, what a name, too, by the way. What, like, what's going on there? Let's just talk about that. I mean, is this a real guy's name? Is this real, I mean, Dan? Did you get fooled by the internet?
No, this is yourvalleynews.com.
Oh, well, it must be right.
KGPE reporting.
Okay. You change a U to a T and you got something else there.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Oh boy.
Our guy Harry.
Bye.
No, like, can't we just, like, stop taking everybody else's inventory? Welcome in these new baseball fans. It's probably, you know, more enjoyable atmosphere than a bunch of other guys sitting around mouth breathing, drinking their beer, cussing out the right fielder. You know? Live a little, Harry. Get over yourself.
Dan, this case is the epitome of we live in an overly litigious society, I believe.
You think?
Yeah. Mr. Crouch.
The guy is suing for $5 million because he had to pay to go to a minor league baseball team.
Also, I'm just, you know how the U.S.
I'm sure it was half empty. Who the hell cares, Harry?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Where did they get the $5 million figure? That's what I would like to know.
The Coalition, National Coalition for Men, are the biggest snowflakes I've ever heard of in my life. What is, you're not representing me with this. I'm not offended.
That's my 18 bucks. Coalition.
It's my 18 bucks, man. Fresno Grizzlies. All right. Listen, if this is the Coalition for Men, let's be on the men's side. Now, maybe you don't care if there's women there. Maybe you already have a wife. Maybe you already have a girlfriend. Maybe you have many girlfriends. I don't know. Maybe you're not interested. Who cares? Let's do something for the guys that might need a little help meeting some women.
That's right.
I'm guessing the midweek Fresno Grizzly fan that's there probably doesn't have a lot of females in his life. He's not doing a good job putting himself in a place where he might meet a nice young lady.
Right. He's sitting there with his scorecard on the first baseline, you know, writing down when the shortstop grounds out. Yeah. So, no, yeah.
I mean, he's, like, working Tinder, and he's, like, you know, finds a match. Hey, going to the Fresno Grizzly game tonight, Tuesday. It's about 115 degrees in Fresno in late May. Would you like to get sun cancer and sweat all night watching minor league baseball? No, I think I'll turn that date down. I mean, the world population is going to dwindle. We got this current. We got to, like, encourage. Do it. Hook the other guys up a little bit. And if women want to come and become baseball fans or they weren't going to go, let's get the Grizzly crowd rolling. Forget you, Harry Crouch.
Harry Crouch. What in the hell?
This is a terrible lawsuit.
Needs to sue his parents.
I mean,
18 bucks, man. 18 bucks. Well, you're a dumbass for spending 18 to go to a Fresno Grizzly game then.
Yeah, but Reno was coming to town. Big rivalry. if your name's Harry Crouch, wouldn't you go by either Harold or Hank? Probably Harold. Hank Crouch isn't going to work either. Harold Crouch.
I don't know. I want to see who won the game.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay.
Maybe he's just mad that his favorite team lost.
You have the date?
Does this guy live in Fresno? Yeah, April. I'm looking it up right now. All right, let's take a bet. Did they win or lose?
They took an L.
L, so loss.
They did. Stockton walked in and beat
Stockton.
On
Stockton. Oh, well.
Oh, no. Ladies' night was the 25th. I'm sorry. They defeat. After loot. Okay, so this is a 5-game homestand against Stockton. They went 1-4. Guess which one they won? The players saw all the ladies at ladies' night.
Not just coincidence, huh, Dan?
They lost 4-3. They lost 6-2. They lost 7-2. They lost 7-5. But on ladies' night, 10-2.
Wow. Whoa,
delivered an ass kicking on Stockton. If you're a fan of the Fresno Grizzlies, and I mean this place, look at these promotions. 2 for Tuesdays. That must be the drinks. Is that Thirsty Thursdays? Mm. Tuesday, 2 for Tuesdays. They have a deal. What a deal Wednesday. I don't know what that entails. Friday was Fresno tacos. And Saturday was cruising around the world. Low Riders de Fresno. I mean, you got a discount if you showed up with that. Mm. Oh, Saturday, Sunday they played also. That's Pickle Palooza. I mean, they're doing something every night.
Got to.
Good for them.
It's Star Wars night.
I'm telling you, you got to be some of the hardest working people in sports is the promotion department at minor league baseball.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, they got
to. I tell people that kids are trying to get into like sports marketing. You know, they're always asking me what to do. And I said, go work at one of these like minor league teams. Don't go work for the New York Yankees ticket office. Or what we said, Nebraska football ticket office. It's been sold out since 1971.
Nothing to do. Yeah.
Right. Go to some single A baseball team somewhere and you're like down on the street corner handing things out. Like you got to look at this stuff. Yeah, they got all of it, man. They got every idea ever. Free the Fresno Grizzlies.
Free them Case from dismissed. Harry Crouch.
Case dismissed from this garbage organization. All right.
Pod dismissed.
Yeah, that's right.
Talk to you later this week. We'll get to Coach Prime and his big spring game and all sorts of news out of there later this week. We'll be back probably Wednesday. Never know. Keep subscribing. Share us on social media. Tell your friends about us, and we will talk to you later.